streak after you've gotten a lead. I was curious, is it, I mean, going from running tempo to trying to slow down, is that sometimes tough? I mean, do you think that has anything to do with the struggles in the fourth quarter?
No, I don't think it does. I think that we just need to be a little bit more crisp with our execution of the plays. We just missed some things. I had a ball tipped that would have been a big play. It's just a little thing, especially at the end of the game. When you have the lead like that, your defense is playing really well, that we really, you know, that's what we'll work on this week, is really improving the fourth quarter so that we can close out games a little better so it doesn't go down like that, because, you know, sometimes it's not going to go our way. So if we can finish the game stronger, it'll give us more opportunities to win.
Have you started planning for the next 1,000 years yet?
No, just one day at a time. I knew that was coming, but just one day at a time. Just thankful to be here, thankful to be playing and being healthy.
Do you think when you look at the set, I think you're 6 out of 14 in the second half Sunday. When you look at film of that second half, I mean, I know you're critical of everything. What do you see? What can you do better than you did there?
I think it's just, you know, being more crisp. And when I say that, it's, you know, I had one tip. So just being aware where that D end is and trying to get it up and over them. And just being smart with the football, put the ball in harm's way at the end. And, you know, we know that there's a holding penalty that, you know, canceled the play out. But just something that we just have to come – there's not an answer I can give you. I just got to come back out here and keep practicing hard, working on the fundamentals, the accuracy, and continuing to play that way throughout the game and not worrying about how much time is on the clock. Always play the same. And, you know, once that clock runs out and you play it and you play as hard as you can the whole game, you know, you'll be happy no matter what.
Is it kind of tougher, though, because you have the lead in the fourth quarter, the other team knows obviously you're going to run and stuff like that. So does it kind of make it harder to, execute those kind of plays?
I mean, when they load the box, it does make it tough to run when you're outnumbered. But that's where we'll continue to work on it, and we'll, in situations like that, try to take advantage of them loading the box and, you know, maybe getting the ball on the perimeter or getting a pass play in or something like that that can, you know, cancel that out. If they want to do that, we should, you know, use it against them and get the ball on the perimeter where it's one-on-one or something like that. But that's something that we'll continue to work on throughout the week. And, you know, Chip always has a plan, and the coaches always have a plan. And I'm all in with them, and I'm excited to see what they come up with.
I know Chip says it's a matter of semantics, but there are certain quarterbacks in the league who are known as franchise quarterbacks. What does it take to get to that point?
To get to a franchise quarterback? Winning. You know, winning, you got to be smart. You got to make plays. You got to make a lot of big throws and clutch situations. You see all the big franchise quarterbacks, they make some clutch throws, they make some big-time throws that not many people can make. So it's just continuing to improve execution, being smart with the football, all the little things. And the big thing with the franchise quarterback, and this is a quarterback on any level, is the people, your teammates have to believe in you. And that's the most important thing, and that's on and off the field. What do you do? Who are you? So it's just the little things.
Franchise quarterback you most admired when you were growing up as a kid?
Growing up, I always liked John Elway. Always watched him, just like the way he played. You know, when I think of him, I just think about him laying out on the field, you know, scrambling in the Super Bowl and doing the, you know, 360, you know, diving for the first down, and just his heart and just his leadership, how he was delivering the ball, you know, in tight spaces, using his strong arm, being smart with it, trusting his receivers in clutch situations. So just the little things, what he did for the city of Denver when he was there. And, you know, that was when I was a kid, I grew up and I watched him a lot.
What was it like when you met him?
Oh, it was great. You know, it's really neat to meet a person that you grew up watching them play and, you know, looked up to him. So it was neat. I talked to him a little bit, not a whole lot, but, you know, he's a big dude. You don't realize how thick the guy is and how big he is until you meet him in person. So that's what's cool about playing on this level. You see the guys that you grew up with and who they are as people.
Playing up against Matthew Stafford this weekend, both you guys played high school quarterbacks in Texas. If you look around the NFL, there's quite a few quarterbacks who have come from Texas. Do you put anything to that? Is there something different in the water down there?
I mean, it's a big state, so there's a lot of people. As y'all know, football's pretty big in Texas. There's all the Friday Night Lights. And, you know, we play in front of, you know, people love football, but that's all over the country. There's a lot of places like that. I just know Texas because that's the only place I played high school football, and I just know we'd have, you know, at least 8,000 to 10,000 people at a game. We got in the playoffs, it'd be 40,000 to 50,000. And, you know, you play in a state championship, it's going to be huge. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. You're always playing in front of crowds. You got a lot on your shoulders or what it is, but I also know it's a big state and there's a lot more people than, you know, smaller states. But I don't know. There's a lot of good football players across this country. You go to Hawaii, and, you know, I played with a lot of Hawaiians at Arizona. There's some studs down there, and it's just a small island. So it's just all over.
Like, the longer this touchdown, the interception streak continues, I mean, how do you prevent it from becoming a burden or thinking about it, or, you know, every time you throw a pass?
I just play. I don't try to overcompensate for anything. When I'm out there, I'm not thinking about, you know, the what it is, you know, the ratio. I'm thinking about giving my receivers the best opportunity to catch the ball and being smart with the ball as much as I can. And you're going to have to take chances. You're going to have to take risks. That's how you win games. You got to choose your risks wisely. But, you know, I think it just goes that I have a lot of confidence in my receivers and my line and my whole team to where, you know, if something does happen, if a pick does happen, we're going to bounce back from it. Our defense is going to hold them. I don't go into a game thinking about throwing a pick, but if it does happen, it's not going to be the end of the world. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep playing. And we're going to play together.
How important is that to you? I mean, you're one touchdown pass away from tying a record that Peyton Manning holds.
Not important at all. Most important thing is our team to continue to excel. And whatever it takes to win, if it's us rushing for four or five touchdowns, if I have to throw that, or, you know, if we have to, you know, whatever it takes to win, that's what's most important. I don't think about the records or whatever they are. The records are always team records. I think it's a reflection of our team and what our guys are doing. And, you know, I can't go out there and do everything. There's a lot of guys that are helping me. You know, the line's giving me time to throw the ball. Running backs are doing a great job in protection out on their routes. Receivers are running crisp routes, using their bodies to make plays. The ball is in harm's way. The receivers are knocking it out. Stuff like that, you know, gives you an opportunity to be successful. And I think the most important thing is you got to have a great defense. You got to have a really strong defense that can get you the ball back and hold the, you know, other offense. And our defense is playing great, and I know they're going to continue to do it. And then you got special teams, you know, Donnie Jones kicking the ball inside the 20 like seven times. You got Alex Henry, you know, making a field goal, making the extra points. All that stuff, I look at it in a big picture of what goes into all those records or whatever it is. And, you know, it's the team. It's what everybody does, and that's why they're special.
Nick, you guys didn't win a ton of games in Arizona, and last year wasn't a great year. There was a lot going on. It wasn't a great year, wins and losses wise. How cool is it to be kind of in a playoff run now and winning games, you know, and having late season games that mean something?
It's a great feeling. I mean, just being successful, especially winning at home and winning games in general, it's a great feeling. But at the same time, you really have to put that aside once the game's over and correct what's going on and, you know, improve on it. And we didn't do well my senior year, but the one thing I remember, and, you know, it was a process. We had a lot of young guys. We lost a lot of seniors. We lost our coaching, you know, our head coach halfway through the season. And everybody stuck together, and we just kept it's a process. We kept working, We started winning games at the end of the season. Won some big ones. So I just remember the grind, and it wasn't always pretty, but I love, you know, one of my greatest memories there is going out to practice after that, and everybody was always working, everybody sticking together throughout. You know, we started out like 1-5, 1-6, I don't even remember, it just wasn't good, but every day guys came to work, and that's, you know, here we didn't start out the greatest, but every day the guys bought in and came here and worked for each other, worked for the city, and worked for the people in this building, and, you know, that's a special thing.
I can ask you about the one-handed catch that Riley Cooper made the other day, just kind of what he's meant to you as a quarterback this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty tremendous. Full extension, just showed his athletic ability, his ball skills, and I think he's really come up big for us this year, and it's taking a lot of pressure off of Deshaun on the other side, because you leave Riley one-on-one, you know, that's a big, strong, physical target that can go get the ball, so his confidence just continues to grow, and, you know, he's a great team player. He'll go out there and he's a great blocker, you know, and I think receivers that are great blockers, it helps our run game, and you see our receivers, all of them, go out there and block for our running backs and, you know, me if I keep the ball, and, you know, that's pretty good.
As you follow up to that, what's the...
When you throw it, did you say, darn, I overthrew him or anything?
Which
like
one was
that?
What,
to the Cooper, the one-handed catch that Cooper made.
Yeah, guy was in my face. I knew I had to get Riley the ball, and there was a guy coming right at me, and I didn't want him to tip it, so I was trying to get it right over him. It went a little bit higher than I wanted it to, but at the same time, I trust my receivers. I know that if I can get it in a radius around them, they're going to make a play. And, you know, that's just confidence in them. I could, you know, next time I want to throw him a little easier ball, but, you know, he's going to get a, you know, some good pictures out of it. You know, he'll probably have the background of his phone, you know, that catch for a while. So, you know, good things do happen.
As a follow-up to that, what's the value of size at that spot? We heard Bill Davis talk about the catch radius for Calvin Johnson. You just mentioned that.
Yeah.
The size at receiver, what does that do for the quarterback?
It gives you a lot more freedom with passes, especially deep balls. You know that most of the time they're going to be bigger than the DB, so you can really throw it out there and you just put some height on it and just let him go make a play. And most of the time the worst thing that will happen is the ball is just incomplete. But, you know, more than often, you know, he's going to make a play and he's going to make a big one. And, you know, we were close a couple of times last game. We just got to keep firing him. I'm going to keep throwing it if I get the matchup and expect him to go make a play. Thank you all.